Remember the Love Boat, where the crew members, from the bartender to the ship's doctor, always did their best to please guests and, of course, help them fall in love with each other?
I remember the cruise director, Julie McCoy. She was basically Cupid with a clipboard.
Yeah, you could say the service was a little too good to be true. But here's a fun fact. The Love Boat was set on the Pacific Princess, an actual Princess Cruises ship. Real passengers even got to star as extras in the scenes. And today, we're talking about how Carnival, which now owns the Princess line of ships, is transforming the erstwhile Love Boats into high-tech hubs on the sea.
Now, the ship is essentially a 150,000-ton mobile device that is fully connected.
That was John Padgett, Chief Experience and Innovation Officer for Carnival, which is the largest cruise company in the world, with 117 ships that carry more than 2 million passengers a year. Sometimes, truth is better than fiction. A trip on the Royal Princess today has even better service than the kind the Love Boat producers dreamed up.
So how did Carnival pull this off? The long answer? Through future systems, which we'll explore in depth in this episode. Short answer, the cloud.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Klein.
And I'm Lena Rao. Welcome to Innovation Decoded, a podcast dedicated to breaking down the new technologies that are transforming the way we live, work, and think. The cloud is so powerful, so ubiquitous, and yet so underappreciated. A lot of people don't really know what it is. Here's Eric Brewer, one of the fathers of the cloud and the current VP of infrastructure at Google. Eric was there at the beginning of the cloud revolution. Now he works on productive platforms for modern cloud computing at Google.
Main role I played was sorting out how to build large-scale computers used for internet applications out of clusters of commodity machines. So instead of having one big computer like a mainframe, let's have 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 normal computers in a rack and use them to build cloud services that have tremendous scalability and high availability.
So how important is the cloud?
Oh, it's a big, big deal. I would say a similar impact to the internet and then the web, then cloud computing. They are fundamental shifts in human history about how do we interact with each other and what's possible. I remember a kid, I believe it was in Mozambique, learning to play piano over Skype. Right? That's cloud computing too. Right? And that's because there were no piano teachers in his part of the country, in rural Africa. We've done work in telemedicine where patients are doing online interviews with doctors because there's no eye doctors near them. In general, there's no specialists in rural areas, even in the U.S. And so all these things, I think, are really, in the end, powerful human examples of why a connected platform based on cloud computing is going to be a fundamental thing in the evolution of human history.
The cloud is key to future systems, and future systems are key to thriving in this age of continuous disruption. Here's Annette Rippert, who leads the Accenture technology business in North America.
So we're living in a time of constant change, and to scale tomorrow's innovations and maximize value, organizations really need to think about how they take a hard reset to their IT systems. So future systems enables innovation at scale. And it has really these three unique characteristics: boundaryless, adaptable, and radically human.
These three characteristics have important implications for creating experiences.
So when we think about boundaryless, that refers to the way that systems operate, breaking down barriers, whether those barriers are within the IT stack or between companies, or in fact, in between the way humans interact with machines. So, you know, this really gives businesses a near infinite set of opportunities to improve how they operate. The second factor is really around adaptable systems, which minimize the friction in business caused by inefficient processes or unnecessary human intervention. And they do this by harnessing advances in trusted data and intelligent technologies that allow them to create systems that can interact, improve, and adapt by themselves, thus adaptable systems. And thirdly, with radically human systems, we can now do something we've long dreamed of. That is, design systems that talk and listen, see, and understand similar to the way that we do as humans. It means tomorrow's advantage will go to those who design systems that adjust to people and really have a seamless interaction, not just to those who continue to expect to have people adjust to the way we design systems.
Annette's favorite example of cloud-enabled future systems in action is Carnival's move, in partnership with Accenture, from a ship-centric system to a guest-centric one. We're talking about a major upgrade from Julie McCoy's clipboard.
Carnival moved away from their legacy systems, embracing a cloud-based property management platform composed of almost 200 microservices to enable the guest experience that they imagined. They shifted to a decoupled, event-driven architecture that's scalable, flexible, and delivers insight and information real-time.
These high-level tech changes are contained, practically speaking, in a quarter-sized ocean medallion that guests can wear as a sports band or as a pendant. It enables every guest to connect to a secure Internet of Things network composed of thousands of sensors and digital devices. But there's no discernible technology, no on-off switch, no charging, no menu to navigate. It's pretty magical. Again, here's John Padgett of Carnival.
Historically, these immense ships, very large, essentially floating cities, where you're moving large groups of people from experience to experience, like from to a dining room and then to a show that evening. But with the Ocean Medallion, it is very much different. This completely turns it upside down to where anything you want, anywhere you're at, anytime you want it, you can have service delivered to you to your specific location. There's a display outside your safe room door that recognizes as you are walking up to it. It greets you by your name. It would celebrate any celebration you may have, like a birthday or anniversary. It would indicate that right there at your stateroom door and then unlock your door automatically before you even touch anything.
The results are impressive, but implementing future systems isn't simple. According to John, Carnival's efforts were like turning around a super tanker.
I think I would call it immense and epic because it was a complete tech overhaul. And then when you combine the guest mobile devices, the crew mobile devices, all of the public portals, stateroom portals, and door portals, you're really looking at a population of probably 15 to 20,000 connected devices on that ship, of which then is connected to cloud-based services through a hybrid satellite connectivity model that combines both MEO satellites, mid-Earth orbit satellites, and GEO satellites, geosynchronous satellites, with high bandwidth connectivity real-time to the cloud, and then that all synchronized to shoreside, what I would call traditional data center as well, back in Miami.
And all of these tech innovations came about because the teams followed human-centric, or in this case, guest-centric, design principles. Here's Annette once more.
You know, human-centric design is so important to future systems. At the start of the Carnival project, for example, the team gathered at Carnival's Innovation and Experience Center in Doral, Florida. Here, that Carnival team created replicas of different physical touch points in the guest journey, from the living room where people would make their travel choices, to the airport, to the port of embarkation, to the stateroom, to onboard points of interest like the pool and the casino. Walking through the space, developers could literally immerse themselves in the next guest experience. And then they organized the development teams by those guest experiences.
This method is one of the aspects of the project John is most proud of.
We start with a guest and we build everything else around it. In fact, the Medallion Class Experiences was started from a clean slate, concrete floor, and a little bit of masking tape. And then we rebuild everything else it takes to actually enable that vision that we have for that guest from a visionary standpoint.
Carnival's future system takes the concept of personalization to a new level in that it constantly adapts to how a guest is behaving on a particular trip.
When you go on vacation, you have many different personas. You may be traveling with your kids, and you have one travel persona. You may be traveling with your college friends, and that's another persona. We actually maybe start with a profile that you as a guest provide your preferences. But as you engage across your entire experience, we somewhat forget what you said you were, and we adapt to what you actually are in space and time in real time.
It's like you can take a vacation from yourself. Now that's a luxury.
Another great innovation we have is something we call the Ocean Compass. And it's very similar to if you combined Waze plus Find Friends all in one and made it about a individual or a guest. And so on our cruise ship, we have point-to-point, not just point-to-point navigation, but individual-to-individual wayfinding and navigation to where you can find your travel party on this massive cruise ship, and you can text your shipmates and travel mates there as well.
Can you imagine the fun Julia McCoy would have had with that feature? Her matchmaking game would have gone way up.
Carnival is now scaling these experiences and services across the entire Princess Cruise line, and John's excited about expanding the platform and applying it in other contexts.
Because the platform essentially allows us to amplify our innovation because the platform is so strong. It's similar to, if you think about back to the mobile device or iPhone analogy of how early on there were just a handful of apps and then they proliferated because the platform is a given. And we see a lot of proliferation and capabilities to do some very special things that we could never do before.
The very concept of standalone applications in modern systems development is rapidly disappearing. Our future system survey of 8,300 business and IT executives showed us that companies who embrace future systems stand to grow their revenues at more than 2 times the rate of those who don't. So the financial upside is pretty staggering. And I think when you compare that against companies who may be successfully innovating in pockets in their organizations, but if they've not really been able to achieve that desired impact on a broad basis across the enterprise, you know, it's unfortunate they're not really realizing the full value that they could be.
Annette says a lot of companies are reconfiguring their tech in a piecemeal or ad hoc way. But it's better to have a step-by-step plan for building all 3 components of future systems into your business. Here again is Eric Brewer of Google.
There's still plenty of private data centers, but I would say every major company I've talked to has a plan to move to the cloud in part or in whole. It's not quick. It will take 5 or 10 years for lots of reasons, including they already own data centers that they need to depreciate. But they're not. There's no real discussion anymore about are they going to move to cloud or not. It's more about when and how many clouds and which parts of their workloads do they move.
Today's dynamic market demands new ways of thinking and working that are much more experimental, agile, and experiential. Now is the time to close that innovation achievement gap, the gap between what companies are doing and what they could be achieving. And all of that enabled through future systems.
So, Josh, what did we learn?
That going on a Princess Cruise today is like taking a hyper-personalized voyage. With its cloud-based property management platform, the Ocean Medallion exemplifies the boundaryless components of future systems. It's adaptive because it'll keep changing to better meet guests' needs, and it's radically human because its technology is designed to reduce friction and give people the best experience possible. And as with all future systems, the potential for building out the platform and propelling growth is huge. Sometimes you have to turn the whole ship around to get where you need to go.
Thanks for listening to Innovation Decoded by Accenture. Join us for the next episode when we'll uncover more stories of how technology is transforming business.